All right, it's time to get geared up. From GeekWire.com in Seattle, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Well, we have a ton to talk about today. Apple had a 2.5-hour Worldwide Developer Conference keynote in San Jose.
The longest they've ever done.
We're not going to spend that much time recapping it. We're going to give you the highlights and actually hopefully make it a little bit more efficient for you here to figure out exactly, exactly what went on.
It'll only take us 2 hours to get through everything exactly. On this show.
So Apple, I think, should probably take some cues from Microsoft, which spreads out its developer conference keynotes over a couple days.
Right.
Why not do that? They had definitely 2 days of material here.
I think it's just the fact that they want to get everything out in one day, and then they can just concentrate on the rest of the developer conference, which is actually a place where 5,000 developers congregate to start learning stuff. So I think they just want to get everything out of the way and not have to do a production 2 days in a row, is my guess.
All right. So before we jump in, don't forget, subscribe to Geared Up at youtube.com/gearlive to see the live stream from Andrew. Also, you can go to geekwire.com/gearedup. to subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you get your audio programs.
We're all over the place.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump right in.
Okay.
This is the HomePod.
There it is.
We are showing it on the screen behind us. For people who aren't seeing it on the radio show or podcast, it's about 7 inches tall. And how would you describe the design aesthetic of this?
It looks similar to the Mac Pro, the previous edition of the Mac Pro, kind of. It's that cylindrical shape, but it has this weird mesh on the outside that looks like, you know, like a cat's going to try to ruin it. It's going to use it as a scratching post. And then at the top, there's an LED, which gives you the whole Siri, you know, interface, if you will.
So Apple is describing this as a, quote, breakthrough wireless speaker for the home that delivers amazing audio quality and uses spatial awareness to sense its location in a room and automatically adjust the audio.
Right, that's cool.
This is really Apple's answer to the Echo. I mean, how else can you look at this, Andrew? Is this Apple taking it forward, or is this Apple
look at it another way?
Okay, let's hear it.
It's not Apple's answer to the Echo. Here's the problem.
It's the Echo to the Echo. Come on.
The Echo and the Google Home are smart speakers with terrible audio. That's what they both are. They both are terrible with audio.
See, I have an Amazon Echo. I think it's perfectly fine. Now, you're talking about the Echo Dot, the $50
version. Even worse.
Okay, yeah, it's worse. It's not as good.
Right.
That's how I would say it.
Well, here's the thing. We have wireless and Wi-Fi speakers that with really great sound that are not smart. You can call them dumb, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Like a Sonos. Sonos is one of my top, like, three favorite gadget products like in the world, but you can't control them with your voice. They're not smart. You can stream to them. And then you have the smart speakers that are smart but don't have the sound that Sonos has. They can play music and they have these little speakers built in, but they're not what you consider to be a great music experience. It just has speakers in there that allow you to play music. What Apple's doing with the HomePod is like a combination of both. It's a great speaker, but it's smart. And so it's their answer to Sonos, and it's their answer to things like the Google Home and the Amazon Echo. And you can use them in pairs. You can pair them up in tandem. So one is the left speaker, one is the right speaker. You can put them all over your house and control multi-room audio from HomeKit. So these are things you can't do with those other smart speakers.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, in terms of price, though, you're talking $349 for one of these. An Amazon Echo, the basic Amazon Echo, costs $180.
Yeah.
So it's different markets. Maybe this appeals to different types of people. But you're saying that essentially it's a crossover device. It both competes with the Echo and with the Sonos.
Yeah. And also, I mean, this is much more powerful, not just from the speaker perspective. It has 7 tweeters in there. It has a subwoofer in there. It does its own auto calibration. Even the Sonos can't do that. With Sonos, you have to use your smartphone to calibrate the room. The HomePod just does it for you. It has an A8 processor. So that's the processor from the iPhone 6. So it's powerful. That means it's doing a lot of the computation and everything on the device itself. It's not just like the Echo where it's like it sends your query over to Amazon. And then it's just like a verbal internet gateway. And then it also has what Apple calls the musicologist built in.
Which is Siri.
Siri, your musicologist.
Okay.
No one else has a musicologist built in.
All right. So all of this stuff sounds marginally better to me. It sounds like, yes, this is something that the audiophile out there would definitely love.
Right. But that's who it's for. It's for the audiophile.
Okay. All right. But for the average, for the typical person who listens to one speaker and another and says, good enough.
Yeah.
Why on earth would anybody buy the HomePod over the Echo?
I would say for HomeKit.
Okay, so HomeKit is Apple's ability to control different devices.
Yes.
Amazon has like hundreds of skills now.
Right, but the thing is, Amazon can't control any HomeKit devices.
Are we getting into like a little fanboy dispute going on here?
No, I'm just telling the truth. Here's the truth. So Apple is now working with builders and developers of homes to when you buy a new home, like new construction, HomeKit is all built into everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want something that can control that. Now, the other thing is, if you're doing HomeKit, you probably have an iPhone already, and you can do all this from your iPhone. You can just talk right into your iPhone. So, you know, that's the other thing to remember. You don't need this. But if you want the convenience, and if you want a really good speaker, which the others aren't, if you want a really good speaker for your music, and you're an Apple Music subscriber, you can't get Apple Music from Google Home. You can't get Apple Music from the Echo. This is the only way to get Apple Music in one of those speakers, and it'll sound really good.
Is there any indication that Siri is going to be better than she is on my phone in this device?
I think that story is going to be told in September. When they announce the next iPhone, I believe we're going to see a lot of advancements to Siri. They did talk about a little bit of it today, but there was so much they had to get in today that it almost felt like they were just like rushing. And whenever they handed off the stage, like they were like running. They were all running. So there was a lot to talk about. We did see a couple of Siri improvements today, but I think we're going to see even more in September. And I think that's why this device isn't shipping until the fall.
Okay. And it's going to be available starting in December in Australia, the UK, and the US. So at that point, we're going to have the new iPhone out to look at.
That's right. You're buying one of these?
Which
HomePod?
One? The HomePod? No.
He's not buying it.
No, $349, that is way too expensive.
Oh, man.
You know, I've got a very nice, you know, five-year-old Bose sound dock in my house that I use with a 2012 era iPod Touch. It's perfectly fine, Andrew. Why do you need something this nice and this expensive? This is just way too much. I'm sorry.
I thought we were part of the tech elite. That's what I thought.
Hey, when the conference started today, Tim Cook came out and he said he had a big Apple TV announcement too.
Right.
Which also tied into Amazon.
Right. So they had six things they wanted to talk about today. And they started off with tvOS. And, you know, for each operating system, they give us a huge, you know, they tell us all about the new features. So the big major features of the new Apple TV this fall is that there's going to be an Amazon app. And that was it.
Amazon Prime Video is finally coming to Apple TV. And then he was like, okay, moving on.
Right. Now, I think there's more to that story because Amazon has really been pushing for all their first party shows and movies, 4K HDR content. So I think this is foreshadowing in the fall, we're going to see a new Apple TV that supports 4K and HDR.
So on that topic, I've been getting some tips from a couple readers about quality problems with the 4K streams from Amazon. Have you heard anything about that?
No, and I use it almost, I mean, I wouldn't say daily, but a few times a week I'll watch Amazon streaming content, and I almost always, like, I'll veer towards the 4K HDR stuff because I want to take advantage of my TV. You know, like when 1080p first came out, everybody was watching, like, nature documentaries. like it's kind of like that. Like, I want to take advantage of it. So it works fine.
It's funny how different we are on this stuff because I'll go into Amazon and I'll like make a point of diving down deep into the UI so I can get the $199 download instead of the $299 download.
I'm talking about Prime Video. It's free.
Okay, Prime Video. Prime Video is true. But if you're buying one-offs, like I'll stay away from the
You don't
HD.
Want the HD?
No, I'll get the SD.
God.
Good enough, man. It's good
you're
enough.
You're renting content on a high-definition TV and you want to get the SD version?
Yeah, did I say I had a high definition TV?
No, you did not. How much? You did not.
I can't remember if
That's true.
It's a 36-inch.
He doesn't even know. This is great.
All right. So my other theory on this announcement of Prime Video on Apple TV is that Apple was basically throwing Amazon a bone at the beginning of the presentation, saying, okay, hey, we're going to highlight your content here. But at the end of the presentation, trying to cut them off at the knees with the Echo competitor. That's my theory. I don't know. That's sort of like that's my read of the corporate co-opetition and rivalry.
I don't agree. Just because the Echo is so like to me, if you want an Echo, you're going Echo Dot. $50.
True.
There's no comparison.
Yeah. I got one of those for my mom, by the way, for Mother's Day, and Echo Dot. She won't set it up until I get home. She wants, I'm heading home over the 4th of July holiday.
Okay.
And she wants to wait until I'm there.
Right.
So, but
right.
Which I think is probably smart. I'd much rather do that. Sure. Than try and do it over the phone.
That makes sense.
Phone tech support is not one of my favorite things.
Right. Yeah. Right. I got you.
All right. So that is just a small snippet of what Apple talked about at the Worldwide Developer Conference today. We are going to be talking about much more on this episode of Geared Up. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Geared Up on GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
All right, we are running down all of the biggest news from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference today.
Yep.
It was a 2.5-hour keynote. We're boiling it down here for you, talking about the highlights and what we found most interesting.
Yes, there's a lot there.
That's right. We just talked about the new HomePod and a little bit about the Amazon Prime Video coming to Apple TV.
Yes.
Now let's jump into iOS 11, which I thought was a pretty big series of news announcements.
A ton. There's a ton there. iOS is obviously their most used operating system. It's on most of their devices, over 1 billion devices. And so it's probably the one that people are paying most attention to, leading into the next iPhone as well.
So lots to talk about here, starting with what I thought was the most interesting thing, by the way, the Files app. I bet you didn't think I was going to say that.
The Files app.
The
you
Files
always,
app.
You always like the weird stuff. The Files app. Okay.
The weird stuff, also known as the stuff that actually really matters underneath the hood. The Files app is going to make it so you can use your iPad almost like you use a computer.
Right.
And that's why I think it's interesting. It essentially creates a view of your files. You can drag and drop files among different apps.
Right.
I mean,
create
I know
folders.
That, right. Create folders. Do all sorts of different things just like you would do with a computer. To me, this is interesting, and the most interesting announcement out of this iOS 11 set of announcements, because it is a very practical thing that people in the short term are going to be able to do to change how they use their device.
Yeah.
It's going to make it much more like a computer, and it's going to make the iPad Pro much more of an actual potential replacement to a Mac or a PC.
Sure.
I
but
can
I think,
see you're
I think
skeptical,
there was a lot
Andrew.
More. No, I don't have a problem with that Files app. I think it's a good idea, but I don't think it's the best thing that they showed
about
iOS
11. Maybe not the best, but it's the most interesting and practical and short-term. You know, the short-term impact of that is that's going to have a meaningful impact
it's
on the lives of iPad
but
users.
I think the bigger picture for the iPad, at least, is all those other features as well, how they come together to make it more of a computing platform. You've got a dock now, which is very similar to the Mac. You've got the... What else? What else was there? Oh, the drag and drop between there's a whole bunch of new multitasking stuff.
Yep.
Dragging and dropping between apps now. You have a place where you can set things that you drag out, like a little holder area. That is pretty cool.
They're taking on Venmo and Square Cash,
man, yes,
with the ability to do peer-to-peer payments on Apple Pay. I thought that was really interesting.
Not just that. So you can do the peer-to-peer payments from Apple Pay, and that's whether you're doing it on a watch or an iPad or an iPhone. But they're also giving you a virtual debit card in your Apple Wallet. So Apple will actually hold your funds as well. So it's not just going directly into your bank account. It'll actually, you can hold your funds in Apple Pay now, which is like Apple's becoming a bank now.
Yep.
That's weird.
Yep. There's a do not disturb feature that's going to be coming when people are driving.
Do not disturb while driving.
Yeah, which is
that's practical.
It's very practical, and it's probably going to be the way that most people notice they've got iOS 11, because it's going to say, hey, we're shutting down the phone while you're driving, and you can set it up to where only urgent messages come through.
Right.
In terms
and
of practical impact, auto replies, that's right.
Yes.
Hey,
I like
I'm driving.
That.
Yes.
I like that. I mean, that's a problem. It's a problem that just keeps getting worse. So until we have cars that are just driving everybody around, we need a way to stop distracted driving. And this obviously isn't going to stop it completely, but it could just reduce the distractions, which is good enough for me.
Now, in terms of third-party developer tools, there were two really interesting ones that I think you're going to start to see ripple out into the app ecosystem. One is called Core ML, machine learning capabilities, the ability for apps to actually learn from your behavior and then do things that are different.
You love that.
I do. I love it. I love how the parking app, the Maps app knows where I'm parking. I also love how Siri knows that about 6 a.m. if I wake up and I plug in my headphones, the first suggestion is NPR1. I mean, they know
that's nice.
Like which app. I love the notion of machines anticipating your behavior based on past
that's
activity
good.
And doing that. Also, very interesting and probably the most notable thing here, in terms of the future, the AR capabilities.
That was insane.
AR kit and the ability to, within your phone, place virtual objects on top of the real world. It's kind of like Microsoft HoloLens,
right?
Except inside your phone.
In your phone or your tablet.
That's right.
And the tablet might even be nicer because you have that nice big screen. And people are always like, why do you need to have, you know, cameras on your tablet? And I think they showed a good reason today. Did you see that demo where they had like it was like a war,
yeah,
a war scene happening right on the table.
Video game. Yep.
That was so cool. It looked amazing.
Yeah,
it looked like it was actually there. And for those of you who love Pokemon Go, now they're going to switch to AR for Pokemon Go as well. So it actually looks like the Pokemon are in the real world versus like superimposed on it.
Right, like standing on the
road. They're actually there. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So lots to talk about in iOS 11. Was there anything else that stood out for you?
Oh my gosh, AirPlay 2.
Yeah.
The new AirPlay now, which, so we talked about the HomePod earlier and how you can set them in different rooms, but any speaker that integrates AirPlay 2 into it can now be part of the whole multi-room system. So now with HomeKit, you can control multiple speakers, have them all play the same thing, have them all play different things, no matter where they are in your house. But there was a lot. There's a completely redesigned app store now, new photos app, new live photos. Like there's just they put a ton of stuff in there. They make it easier to get to your iMessage apps now.
Yeah, the live photos thing I liked was the ability to essentially set your keyframe. Yes. I run into this all the time. There's like all these hacks that I do with these third-party GIF apps to try and manipulate my live photos because you'll miss the shot.
Right, right.
But now Apple's actually made it part of iOS 11 where you'll be able to say, oh, she blinked right there. And if I just go back a split second, that's the version that I want. And
yes,
you can set that as your keyframe. I think that's pretty cool. See, to me, I'm looking for all this practical stuff. I want it to actually have an impact on my life. The AR stuff, it's like the augmented reality. Okay, great.
That's going to have an impact on your life.
Sure, but that's far off down the road. It's going to take so long for developers to create actually compelling experiences on that stuff.
What about indoor maps?
That's a good
indoor maps. When you're at an airport or at a mall or something like that,
yep,
they can actually have you open up maps and instead of seeing your street view, you're actually seeing a map of the inside of where you are to find stuff easier. That was cool too.
That's a good one. All right, so lots to talk about in iOS 11. That is coming out in the fall as well.
Yeah, and we only talked about like 25% of the stuff. There's a lot out there.
Right, okay. But that's going to be available for people to upgrade
free from
their existing devices.
That's right.
In addition to what we presume will be the next iPhone.
Yeah, I believe this is going to be a 64-bit release only. So if you have an iPhone 5, 5C or earlier, you probably won't be able to upgrade. As long as you have iPhone 5S or above, then you should be able to get this.
Okay, briefly here in the minute or so we have left in this
watch
segment.
WatchOS, there was a lot here too.
WatchOS, okay. We can talk about it in the next segment on the podcast, but highlights here include a new Siri watch face.
Siri watch face.
It adjusts during the day, so in the morning it might tell you, hey, here's your calendar appointments. Later in the day, it might
say, here's your NPR,
Here's your sunset. It's And by the way, this machine learning stuff, this is happening in Seattle. I don't know if you know this, but
they've
got an engineering center here in downtown Seattle where a lot of the machine learning stuff is happening. So
that's cool.
Local angle there on some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Other things with the Apple Watch?
They have enhanced swim tracking now. They have high-intensity interval training now. You can start and stop workouts. You can change the workout you're doing, which you couldn't do before. More music on your wrist. It'll now anticipate the music that you want, and it'll just automatically put it on your watch. So if you leave your phone and you go for a run and you have your AirPods, you will have music there. The curated Apple Music playlist, they make curated playlists for everybody twice a week. Those will be automatically on your watch as well. So person-to-person payments coming to the watch as well.
You're going to be able to bump your watch against somebody
else. You don't want to break your display. monthly challenges. Okay. So you and I can be in a monthly challenge.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, you need to buy an Apple Watch.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So that's what you're doing. He's buying an Apple Watch, and we're going to do a monthly challenge once WatchOS 4 comes out. But there's plenty. Toy Story watch face as well. A lot of people clapped for that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're rounding up the news, analyzing Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. Lots of news from Apple this week. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Geared Up on GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
All right, we are rounding up the news.
Yeah, winding it all out.
Winding down in terms of our roundup of Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. Ton of stuff that came out this week. We've talked now about, iOS 11.
Yep.
Apple Watch. HomePod. And there was one of the...
TVOS. Amazon.
Now, in this segment, we're going to be talking about Mac OS.
Okay.
The new Mac OS, which has a very interesting name that they poked fun at.
I don't even know what that means.
What?
Mac OS High Sierra.
Like the High Sierras. Yeah, it's like it's a California reference.
Okay.
Like the Sierra Mountains. You're in the High Sierras.
All right.
Yes.
I've never... Okay.
And we're also going to be talking about the brand new iPad Pro. in this segment. So first off, let's talk about macOS High Sierra.
Okay.
What were the big highlights in your mind on this one, Andrew?
Well, first of all, what stuck out to me most was they reused part of last year's name, which was last year was macOS Sierra. They've done that in the past with OS X Lion, then it became Mountain Lion. They had Leopard, became Snow Leopard. And the big standouts of those previous operating systems was that they were really under the hood improvements that made the experience like just really bug free and things like that. So I think that's kind of what they're going for here again. They're kind of cleaning up Sierra and making it High Sierra.
Lots of big improvements in the graphics technology in particular. So
yes.
What kinds of things?
HEVC.
What does that mean?
It's H.265. So basically, you know, we've been moving towards 4K video, 8K video even is coming out. And so much bigger video files and, you know, bandwidth hasn't been growing at the same rate. And so when you move up to HEVC, you basically get about 25% more compression for these video files. So they'll look the same, but they'll just be a lot smaller. And that's going to be a big deal. Apple File System. So basically, they're changing the file system. Most people don't realize how big a deal that is, but they're basically changing the architecture.
Are you getting excited about some nitty-gritty under-the-hood technology
like
here, Andrew?
Apple demonstrated file copying today. And, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but when you see the results, so they took a bunch of videos, I think it was 10 videos, and they duplicated these videos on their workstation, whatever it was, the iMac. And on the current macOS Sierra, it took maybe 15 seconds, 12 seconds to do that operation. And on High Sierra, it took less than 1 second. It was immediate. So you start to see the benefits of, you know, switching to a new, you know, modern day file system.
Now, on the topic of the graphics, one of the things that they're going to be doing with that is rolling out support for virtual reality.
Right. Finally.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know how many people are aware of this, but things like Oculus and the Vive from HTC.
They don't work.
They don't work on Mac. They've been so far exclusively the domain, essentially, of Windows PCs.
Correct.
And possibly Linux. I'm sure some people could probably hack Linux.
Maybe Linux,
work,
yeah.
But in terms of mainstream OS operating systems that people use every day.
It'd be Windows, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be Windows. Boy, I'm going to get really killed for that comment, by the way. Linux is mainstream, all right? Let me just state it for the record.
To who? No, but for real. If you go onto the Apple website right now and you go to the High Sierra preview page, you will see the HTC Vive sitting there next to an iMac. And that's a big deal because a lot of people who use Macs as their primary systems, if they wanted to get into VR, they had to go out and buy a separate, very expensive PC. Now you can just buy, well, not now, but when it comes out, you can buy the HTC Vive and start using VR right with your Mac.
And in relation to that, Valve, which partners with HTC on the Vive and the Steam VR platform, they're going to be optimizing the Steam VR platform for the Mac OS.
There you go.
And basically making all this stuff work. So also Unity and Epic are bringing their development tools to Mac OS. So very interesting. And again, though, going back to the beginning, Apple's a bit of a follower here. You know, they're following Amazon with the HomePod.
You know, I mean, isn't this Apple? Apple's never first. They're very rarely ever first. What Apple does is they wait and they try to come out with something that's better.
True.
Or more seamless.
I would also contend that Apple at its best reinvents the category.
Right.
They don't just come out with something that's incrementally better. I don't know that any of these announcements that we're talking about today are an actual reinvention of the category. Maybe HomePod, if you take your argument that it's sort of taking the best of the high-end speakers and the virtual assistant speakers and putting them together. But you know, I don't know. I don't see an iPhone in here. You know what I mean? I don't see something as generational or as groundbreaking as a new iPhone.
Yeah, and I don't know that Apple or any other company will ever have another iPhone. The iPhone is the best-selling consumer electronic device in the history of the world of consumer electronics. And like that's a pretty big deal. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That was such a huge, amazing shift. Everything else that they've been releasing relies on the iPhone. So, for example, the Apple Watch will never surpass the iPhone because you need the iPhone to use the Apple Watch. You know, and I don't think there'll ever be another big thing like that. But that said, and I don't think the HomePod's going to be a big deal either. I think they're going to like tuck it into their, you know, the Apple Watch and that their other bets category.
It won't be its own category.
Yeah, it's just another, you know, another thing that they want to put out there to, you know, kind of tie you into their ecosystem.
So let's talk about this thing that's right here behind the screen for this is the iMac Pro.
Yes.
This is a first of its kind device, right? Have they had an iMac Pro?
They have never had an iMac Pro. They've had the Mac Pro.
Right.
Which has been, you know, the last time they released one was in 2013. So people have really been waiting.
So that's a standalone cylindrical device.
Standalone cylindrical device. Right. Which they are now redesigning.
And now this is an all-in-one.
This is an all-in-one.
The iMac Pro.
And this iMac Pro, I mean, this looks like a beast. It starts at $5,000. Which a lot of people I saw complaining, $5,000, like this isn't meant for the general consumer. Like this is an actual pro device. They released new iMacs today for, you know, just the average consumer, brand new iMacs. They haven't released one since 2015.
New MacBook refresh.
New too. MacBook Pro and MacBook refreshes. But this is not coming out until December. And this is like a whole nother thing. This runs Intel Xeon processors, which are server grade processors. The only time they've ever used those processors in the past was in the Mac Pro. So they're really trying to make an iMac Pro that's a real pro machine. It's going to go up to 18 cores, which is absurd. 128 gigabytes it'll support, which is absurd. It'll have four Thunderbolt 3 ports and four USB 3 ports. So 8 USB in total. It's going to be crazy. Up to 4.5 gigahertz in speed. I don't know. Like,
what are you going to do with this?
If you're developing in VR, if you're doing 360 video, if you're a video editor, like there's a lot of, you know, high performance people that need these, you know, much stronger computers. And this is not for someone who just wants to check their email and play some game. Like, the people complaining about the price, basically the people who are going to buy this are the people who aren't complaining about the price.
Right.
There's people that see this $5,000 for this. I need to get that. Those are the people who this is for. If you're complaining about the price, look at the regular iMac because that's probably for you.
All right. Last announcement that we're going to cover, the new iPad Pro.
New iPad Pro, yes.
10.5 inch.
10.5 inches. Well, they updated both of them. So the 10.5 and the 12.9, they're both new. Display.
The 10.5 has not existed before.
That's
new, a replacement for the 9.7.
Yes. Yes.
But then they updated the 12.9 as well.
Yes.
So what's the, who cares? It's a new iPad Pro.
Who cares? This is a 6-core CPU. It's the A10X processor. 6-core CPU, 12-core GPU, 120 hertz refresh rate, which is actually a big deal. When you're scrolling, it's going to actually feel smooth and nice. Like, this is probably the best display, and that's taking into account iPhone and taking into account all the Mac computers. It's probably the best display Apple makes. It's a true tone display still, 600 nits of brightness, which is crazy, P3 color space, and HDR. So it's going to be beautiful.
So they've got a new Apple Pencil, if I understand correctly.
No, Apple Pencil.
Same Apple Pencil, but it works better with this new iPad
right.
Pro. Right. So the latency is 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds.
Do you know what the Surface Pro Pencil
is? Yes, I do.
What is it?
Yes, I do. 2 weeks ago, they announced a new Surface.
Yes.
And they announced that it was the fastest digital pen ever.
At?
21.
And so now Apple comes out with
Apple
the 20.
Apple beat them. Apple beat them. Take that, Panos.
By one millisecond.
1 millisecond. That's Apple. See, they just take what's already out there and they make it better.
So wait, when are these new iPads going to be available?
New iPads are shipping now. So you can order one now, yeah. And they're shipping basically next week. All the Macs are shipping as of today.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Andrew, I got to go because I need to head over to the Apple store. I'm in the market for a brand spanking new MacBook Pro 2016 variety because I'm assuming that the price on those has dropped.
Maybe, right? But you're going for the new ones with the Thunderbolt.
I am
going
to go. I'm going USB-C.
You're about
Thunderbolt.
To go dongle life.
I'm gonna go dongle life. I'm gonna go for it.
Hashtag dongle life.
All right. Well, next week I'll report back on.
Good.
How it's
yeah,
going.
I want to know.
And I'll report on the prices too, because really that's the most important thing. Am I going to be able to get it on the cheap?
I think so. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah. They announced the new MacBooks, and so they cut the price of the existing ones to clear the inventory. That's
they're also cutting the price of the Touch Bar models. If you really want to go crazy,
it seems like it. Seems like fancy jewelry that I just don't need. The Touch Bar.
That's true. I never see you wearing fancy jewelry.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
true.
That's true. Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
You are listening to Geared Up.
Thanks for listening to Geared Up, the weekly tech and gadget podcast. Check out more of Andrew's reviews at youtube.com/gearlive and follow all of our coverage at geekwire.com.